Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel, chapter 2. We'll read verses 19 through 23 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Daniel, chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. While you're turning there, I'll read yet one other verse to you in Matthew 25, verse number 14. You're turning to Daniel, chapter 2. Verses 19 through 23. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. Now, Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changed the times and the seasons. He removeth the kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. And let's finish on verse 23 together. Ready? I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me what we desire of thee. For thou hast not made known unto us the king's matter. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us. We sure do love you. Lord, you've just provided so many things, everything that we have. Lord, this morning in Sunday school, our classes were full and the excitement level is high. And though it was a little bit dreary outside, it's warm and it's refreshing in here. And as we gather as a family, we need the preacher to give us what our Heavenly Father has given him this week. Lord, may we listen so that we could go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Recently, I got a new cell phone. It's called the iPhone. Oh, I've had a lot of experiences with the new mechanism. I didn't bring it to the pulpit today because the last time I did, I forgot to turn it off and it rang and I had to buy myself a pizza. On my iPhone, it has an option. I push a little button and is it Wi-Fi? Somehow it connects to something that connects to something and it shoots the stock market standings onto the little screen. Little red arrow pointing down if certain stocks are going down and a little green arrow pointing up if the stocks are going up. Stock market report on the spot. Push the button just about anywhere and that screen will come up if I request it to do so. I have a question for you. If you were a stock, would God invest in you? Would the little arrow be pointing down or would the little arrow be pointing up? Would the little arrow be red or would the little arrow be green? Green meaning positive, affirmative, going forward, or the little red arrow going down meaning we're going backward? Stay with me if you will this morning. I want to teach you something and I want to preach to you. I call this sermon, He Giveth Wisdom Unto the Wise. The Bible says in Daniel 2:21, And He changeth the times and the seasons, He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. If you look right at me and stay with me this morning, I can give you a truth that everybody I think in a way knows, but we just never slow down long enough to grab a hold of it and to sink our teeth into it. In this passage of Scripture, Daniel is in captivity. His captor is King Nebuchadnezzar, and the king has a dream. That dream that the king has troubles him greatly. The king calls for his magicians, his sorcerers, his astrologers, and he says that I want my dream to be interpreted. He told all of these soothsayers, if they did not interpret his dream, he tells them that they'll be cut into pieces. Their houses shall become manure piles. Talk about tough discipline policies. But he said, if you don't interpret my dream, we are going to cut you into pieces and we're going to make your house into a manure pile. Well, after hearing the dream, they could not do it. They said, nobody can interpret this dream. The decree went forth then that the threatened punishment should be carried out. Everybody, all the soothsayers and the astrologers, they're going to be cut into pieces and their homes turned into manure piles. Well, at that time, Daniel and the Hebrew children were in captivity. Daniel was considered a wise man among the Hebrews. He too would be slain because he was one that they would go to for advice. So Daniel was about to be slain for this lack of interpretation of the dream. So Daniel said, I better step up and ask God to help me. And so Daniel hears the king's dream, and he is able to explain the dream to the king. And as a result of Daniel's ability to explain the dream to the king, Daniel is spared, and so are all the others that would have been hewn to pieces and their homes turned into dung piles. After this miracle has taken place where Daniel interprets the dream, he's praising God for the victory. He's praising God and he's bragging about God. And there's a little statement or two that's made here that I want to base the whole sermon of this morning on. Now remember, he's just worked this miracle through God's power. Daniel is praising God and bragging on God. And he makes a statement while Daniel is describing his great God. And he says in Daniel 2, 21, he giveth wisdom unto the wise, speaking of God, and knowledge unto them that have understanding, or knowledge to them that know understanding. Daniel, prior to this incident, had acquired God's wisdom, and he had properly used God's wisdom to date, and on this day, when God needs, when Daniel needs to interpret the king's dream, God gives him added wisdom. That's why he says, he giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that hath understanding. God rewards what wisdom Daniel had with increased wisdom. Now, you know, to me, this statement seems a bit strange. He giveth wisdom to the wise. It seems to me that he would give wisdom to the unwise, or wisdom to the dumb, if you will. But the Bible says, God giveth wisdom unto the wise. Then, the second part of that verse equally is strange, where he says he giveth knowledge unto them that know understanding. And again, it seems to me that God would give knowledge to those who have no knowledge, but that's not how God was thinking. God said, I give wisdom to the wise. I give understanding to those that have understanding, or knowledge to those that have knowledge. That seems odd to me. This reminds me of another passage of Scripture. It's somewhat similar. It's a truth. Listen, Isaiah 40:31, many of you have heard it time and time again. The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Notice it says, renew their strength. Now, it does not say that they that wait upon the Lord will get strength for the first time. The word re, that prefix means again. It says they will renew their strength. So it didn't say they're going to get strength for the first time. It says they're going to renew their strength, which means that they already have strength, and God will give them more strength. The word wait here, when the Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, the word wait here does not mean they're just waiting around doing nothing. It does not mean that they're just waiting around like a lazy rascal expecting God to give them strength. Not at all. The word wait here is like a waiter at a restaurant. You go down to Cracker Barrel and you sit down and the waiter or the waitress are going to come to you. They're going to fill your coffee cup and then they're going to make sure that your needs are met. They're going to watch to see if you need another napkin, and they're going to watch to see if you need a little cream or sugar for that coffee. What are they doing? They are waiting on that customer. When the Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, it is not saying you just lay around and wait for God to give you strength. It means those that are like a waiter waiting and meeting the needs of God, then God will give them strength. God does not give strength to people who are doing nothing. It's God giving strength to people that are doing something. God gives strength to someone who is already busy. God gives strength to the spiritual waiters, those who cater to God's every desire and every need. God gives wisdom to the wise, the Bible says. God gives knowledge to the knowledgeable. God gives strength to the strong. Let me show you, if I could, another passage of Scripture that teaches us somewhat the same. We see, again, the same concept in Matthew 25, verse number 14. We read it earlier together where the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, let me tell you the story that is being introduced here. A businessman was about to take a trip out of the country. He calls his servants, or those that work for him, together. And before he leaves, he gives all of them some money that they are to use while he is gone. He gives one of his servants 5 talents, and again, a form of money. He gives another 2 talents, and yet he gives another, a third servant, 1 talent. Then the businessman, he leaves. He goes abroad. He leaves. Later on, he comes back from his trip. He's now going to ask his 3 servants how they did with the money that he delivered to them before he left the country. He asked them, "How's it going with the money that I gave you?" The man that had been given 5 talents said, "I invested my 5 talents and I doubled it. I now have 10 talents. And the businessman says to him, in that same passage, it says in Matthew 25:21, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." Wow. Well, I guess the boss was pleased. He then goes to the person to whom he had given 2 talents. He says, "How's it going? I left you 2 talents. How's it going?" And the man said, "I invested my 2 talents. I have doubled it. I now have 4 talents. And the businessman complimented him as well. This is what he said about him. He said, "His Lord said unto him," in verse 23, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." Then he finally goes to the 3rd person that he had given money to. He asked the person that he had given 1 talent to. He said, "Hey, how's it going? I've given you 1 talent. I left the country. I'm back. Tell me, how's it going?" And that servant said, "Well, I was scared. I was afraid I'd lose my talent if I invested it. I dug a hole in the backyard and I bury it. I have no increase." This is what the businessman said. This is what the master said to him in verse 28. "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. That's in the Bible. Wow. He took his 1 unproductive talent and gave it to the servant who had doubled from 5 to 10. In other words, God took from the lazy and gave to the hardworking. That's not like a socialistic society, is it? Isn't that amazing? That's right in the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Notice again. Do you see the concept? God gives wisdom to the wise. God gives knowledge to the knowledgeable. God gives strength to the strong. God gives talents to those who already have talents. What exactly is God thinking? What exactly is God's plan? God is building his portfolio. God watches the stock market of human spiritual effort, and he invests his blessing on those who will profit him. If God is looking to buy stock in a person, would he think you're a good investment? He wants to invest wisdom into the wise. He wants to invest knowledge into the knowledgeable. He wants to invest strength into the strong. He wants to invest money into those who do right with their money. God wants dividends. Hey, out of all people, who deserves dividends the most? Well, God does. If man is smart enough to think, I want to invest in the right thing so it produces the right result, don't you think that God is smart enough to say, I want to invest in the right person so it brings forth the right result? Folks, listen to me. Every born-again Christian in this house today, you need to make yourself investment worthy. My dad has a saying, and it's not new with him. Your dad probably had the same saying. I don't know if all dads met one day and came up with all these sayings and claim them for their own. But my dad used to say, you work like it all depends on you, and you pray like it all depends on God. And I like that. There's an old adage, you've heard it, God helps those that help themselves. You know, the stock market is in the news an awful lot today. Everybody's searching for strong investments. And everybody's wanting strong dividends. I understand that. And what do we, what do the American public want? Do they want to invest in a loser? No, they want to invest in a winner. Now listen, if you're setting back and hoping God will invest in you, it doesn't work that way. God doesn't invest in those that are sitting back and just waiting. Oh no. You need to get yourself in shape so God will want to invest in you. If you were a businessman, would God want to invest in you? If you were a business, would God look down, if your life as a Christian were a business, would God look down and say, look at that guy, look at that. I think I want to invest in that. I will reap great dividends by investing in that. If you were a bond, would God want to buy you? If you were a stock, would God want to invest in you? If you were a commodity, would God feel it safe to take a chance on you? If you were a piece of real estate, would God want to invest in you? Would God look at your past performance and think it indicative of future success, therefore worthy of an investment? Based on what you're producing now for God, would he consider you a bull or a bear market? Do you qualify for the spiritual Fortune 500? God invests in people, but when he does, he invests wisely. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, the Bible says. Let me see if I can develop this thought in your mind. Let me start out by saying something to the young married couples, if I could. You young married couples, you need to succeed in order to be blessed by God's success. I say to the young married people, you need to succeed. Why? In order to be blessed by more of God's success. Mrs. Owens and I got married. We had very, very little. We didn't have matching bowls. We ate out of old margarine tubs. Y'all remember back when they sold margarine and put some flowers on the outside edge? You pop the lid off and you'd eat. I ate many a bowl of cereal out of an old margarine tub. That's how it started out for us. We didn't have matching kitchen appliances. We didn't have the money to go down to the appliance store and buy this, you know, everything matches. We went down to the used store and bought them, sanded them down, cleaned them up, and spray painted them the same color. You say, that's ridiculous. That's how we grew up. That's how we started out. I remember when we went on our honeymoon, we had $147 for the whole thing. You can have more fun. You don't have to have money on the honeymoon to have fun anyway. That's not what it's all about. When we moved into our apartment, we couldn't afford a U-Haul truck. We couldn't. We had our few pieces of furniture. We moved into a 600-square-foot apartment. And we thought that was fantastic. We thought we were going to live on love. And we moved into that thing. I had at that time a 1965 four-door Fairlane. And to move our stuff into the apartment, I couldn't afford a U-Haul, and I used that car to move just about everything we had. I waited until nighttime because I didn't want anybody to see it. We looked like the Beverly Hillbillies moving into town. I kid you not, 1 o'clock in the morning, I strapped my box springs and my mattress on top of that Ford Fairlane, took rope, tied it through the windows, had to climb. Then I didn't realize, couldn't even get in the stupid car. I had to climb through the door because I couldn't get it open because I'd strapped the door closed. driving through town with one hand on this, you know, on top driving. Mrs. Owen, she's on the other side hanging on. And we're moving all of our stuff into our apartment. I was embarrassed, but we didn't have anything. We moved into my grandmother had a place that she rented, and we lived right beside her in an adjoining apartment. The floors were hardwood, but I'm talking about unfinished hardwood. You remember the old hard, it was about 8 inches wide, and it was unfinished. I mean, it didn't have polyurethane over the top of it. We moved into those things, and then we upgraded when I bought some used linoleum. And I laid it down. She about killed me. You remember that, honey? I was in the back room. I bought this used linoleum. It had some stains on it. It was yellow. You picture that. And I'm trying to figure out how to get those stains off of it. So she mixed me up some cleaning solution. It was a mixture of bleach and ammonia. I'm on the back porch just scrubbing away. And at first, I was feeling real good about it. I'm going, this is a lot of fun. But before long, the mixture and the chemicals, I'm going, I fell into the house. I'm crawling. She said, what's wrong? I'm going, I spitting up blood. She said, I think I killed him. You do what you have to do to save a few bucks. That's all there is to it. We slept on a twin bed. That's all we had. We didn't have a king size. We didn't have a full size. We had a twin bed and mattress. That's all we had to start. No air conditioning. No, not many, none of that. We worked. And we scraped. And we did with very little. Nobody gave us much of anything. No, not much of anything. Hey, back then, if somebody came to your wedding shower, they gave you wooden spoons. You know why? Most of them said, I earned it myself, you earned it yourself. I worked two jobs. Mrs. Owens took in laundry. This year, this month, May 22nd, it's 22nd, right? May 22nd is our 28th wedding anniversary. Let me say to you, God has been good to Jeff and Sherry Owens. God has invested in Jeff and Sherry Owens. But I'll tell you this, we didn't wait for handouts. We worked. We worked. Some of you young married couples, you glance at some of the other people in the church. They've got a nice car and they've got a nice house and they've got some nice things. And you want to start out that way. Well, let me tell you something. The rest of us didn't start out that way. You say, well, I just hope God delivers to me big time. God's not going to deliver to you big time until you start delivering to God big time. You've got to work. Today, the young couples want to have it all, his and hers cars, personalized engraved silverware. All the china and the beautiful furniture and everything new and everything in its place. Some of you that look at some of us and you admire what we have, you better start asking some of those people how they got it. They worked and they worked and they worked and they worked and they struggled and they did without. You see, you do all you can, and then God comes along and blesses you and he does some for you. Don't expect others to hand you their success. Did you hear that? Don't, and you young married couples, don't expect others to hand you their success. Go earn your success. And I realize in this day and age, that's a little contrary to the gimme philosophy, but I'm going to tell you something. America needs to get back to working hard. Yeah, I'm not glad that we are where we are in America with our economy, but I'll tell you this, it's going to put some grit in somebody's craw. Somebody's going to find out you got to get up early, stay up late, work hard, and earn your own way. Hey, he gives wisdom to who? The wise. The Bible says, he gives understanding to who? Those that have understanding. He gives strength to the strong. He works to invest in those young couples who work to become investment worthy. God's a smart stockbroker. He is. He's a smart stockbroker. You young married couples, if you got to do that without, do without. Go ahead and have a godly home and do all you can. It's all you can do. That's all you can do. Don't get this idea that you got to have this $300,000 home and $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 worth of cars and all that. Most of that stuff will ruin you. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And I'm not being humanistic now. You do it in the power of God. You do it because God tells you to do it. But I'm going to just tell you, young married couples need to succeed in order to be blessed by God's success. Life is not a free ride. It's not supposed to be a free ride. It's not God's way. God said, I give wisdom to who? The wise. What? Why did you give wisdom to the dumb? God said, you want a little wisdom, you can get a little wisdom. You do what you can, and then I'll put some more on top. Secondly, I've discovered that God works miracles for those who will work without miracles. God works miracles for those who will work without miracles. You look at most of the miracles that God worked in the Bible. They were work for people who were busy working without a miracle. You say, well, that David, let me tell you something about David. Brother Williamson, I'm going to turn this mic on. You say, that David, he sure was fortunate to have God's miracle working intervention in the slaying of Goliath. Wow. Wow. Hey, you listen to me now. David was working hard long before God worked the miracle when he whipped up on Goliath. David had killed a lion with his own bare hands. Let me explain something to you. We never see that David killed a lion with his bare hands as a miracle. We usually only see that Goliath, the slaying of Goliath, was a bit of a miracle. Let me tell you something. David was working hard. He was a pretty tough cookie long before he ever fought Goliath. He had slain a lion with his bare hands. Hey, he had slain a bear with his bare hands. And we never say, well, what a miracle. Well, it may just be that David was a tough, hard-working farm boy that had gone out and worked hard from sunup to sundown. He was tough enough to beat up a lion. He was tough enough to beat up a bear. And you know something? The day that it came time for Goliath to be slain, I think God looked down and said, you know what, that boy right there, he's not a pretty boy. He's not a pretty boy. He's a hard-working guy. I'm going to give him more strength on top of the strength that he already has. You see, when God looked down and seen David being challenged by Goliath, he said, that boy is a proven good investment. I think I'll give him strength where there is already strength. See, many of the miracles in the Bible were just not given to somebody because they were just laying around or sitting around hoping God would do something miraculous. It was given to people that were already busy. It was given to people that were already working. Hey, it was given to somebody already giving their best. You think God's coming to your aid to pull you out and you're not giving your best. God don't put you on welfare, baby. God expects you to do all you can, then God comes along and he'll add to it. He'll bump you over the top, but God is not going to provide everything for you. You say, for instance, that Moses, I'll tell you what. Boy, he was fortunate to have God's miracle-working intervention when they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Wow, what a miracle. Let me tell you something. Moses was working hard to serve God long before God worked that miracle. Moses had fled to the backside of the desert to labor for his father-in-law, and he had worked hard there. Moses had given up the ultimate life of luxury in Pharaoh's palace to live the life of poverty with God's people. He was already sacrificial. Moses had faced Pharaoh's magicians and his sorcerers and his mockery prior to the crossing of the Red Sea. And when it came time for Moses to cross the Red Sea with Pharaoh's bloodthirsty army hot in pursuit, God looked down and said, that man right there is worthy of investment. It is worth it. The investment of a historical, never-to-be-forgotten miracle. He's worked hard. He's fought tirelessly. I'm going to give him a miracle he'll never forget. But I promise you, Moses was already sweating before the miracle came. Everybody wants something for nothing. God said, you want a miracle? You do everything you can. I'll help you then. I'll help you. I think there's some people that think on the day of Pentecost, they just all showed up. There were 3,000 people. They all went home. I got news for you. There was visitation. There was working, and there was organization. And there were people that were working and working and working and working to gather a crowd. Then God came. God gave victory to who? The victorious. God works miracles for those who will work without them. You're hoping for a miracle from God, and God is hoping you will do it without a miracle from Him.
Right.
Come on, God, and God is saying to you, come on, Joe, come on, Jim, come on, John, come on. He's saying, come on, God, come do it for me. And God's saying, you come over here and do it for me. You better be careful getting all caught up in the philosophies that are being taught across this country today. Free ride, something for nothing. Joshua's miraculous God provided victory over Jericho was prefaced by Joshua's years of faithful military service prior. God looked down and said of this warrior named Joshua, Joshua, I will give special valor to this man who has proven his good use of valor prior to that moment. I will give wisdom to who? The wise. I will give strength to who? The strong. I will give knowledge to who? The knowledgeable. I will give money to who? Those who manage their money right. I will give victory to who? The victorious. God works miracles for those who work without them. You know something? This business, you know, somehow the modern charismatic movement can give us the impression that God's just working these amazing miracles in their church every week of their life. I wish I believe that, but I don't. You know, I think God comes along and does some miraculous things for churches every once in a while. But in between them, the people are just working and working and working and working and working and working and doing that which is their duty to do. It doesn't come easy. They struggle and they build and they rebuild and they build and they rebuild. And God looks down and says, you know what? Those people don't give up. They just keep going. They don't back off. You can't shut them down. God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come along and do a little something special for them. And God doesn't bless a lazy rascal that sits around just waiting on God to do something. You get up out of your rocking chair and do nothing and say, God, I'll do everything that I can. And God will look down and say, right there's a good investment. That is a good investment. I will bless that person. You'll like this. The Godfather, the gangster, accompanied by his stockbroker, walks into a room to meet with his accountant. The Godfather asks the accountant, where's the $3 million you embezzled from me? The accountant doesn't answer. The Godfather asks again, where's the $3 million you embezzled from me? The stockbroker says, sir, this accountant is a deaf mute and cannot understand you, but I can interpret for you. The Godfather says, well, ask him, where's the $3 million he embezzled from me? The stockbroker, using sign language, asks the accountant, where's the $3 million? The accountant, sign language back, I don't know what you're talking about. The stockbroker interprets it to the Godfather. And he says he doesn't know what you're talking about. The Godfather pulls out a pistol, puts it to the temple of the accountant, cocks the trigger and says, ask him again where the $3 million is. The stockbroker signs to the accountant. He wants to know where the $3 million is. The accountant signs back, okay, the money's hidden in a suitcase behind my shed in the backyard. The Godfather says, well, what did he say this time? The stockbroker interprets to the Godfather. He says, he doesn't think you have the guts to pull the trigger. You listen to me. When David was bragging on God after God had helped him to interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, David makes this statement, my God gives wisdom unto the wise. So you say, you know what, something, I would really like to be a good preacher someday. I'll tell you something you're going to have to do then. You're going to have to study your Bible. God's not going to just come along and just douse you with biblical knowledge. It does not work that way. I'll tell you what you'll have to do. You're going to have to get up at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. You have to get on your face before God. You'll have to open that book. You'll have to read it and study it 3 and 4 hours a day. You want to feed a mighty congregation of thousands of people? You want to give them something worth coming for? You want to feed them something that will change their life? You want to feed them something that will cause a revival all across the county, all across the state? You have to get up early. You have to stay up late. You have to work and work and work and work. It doesn't come easy. You say, well, God must just think someone's their pet. God has no pets. God has workhorses. You see, you young married couples, You need to succeed if you want some extra success as a bonus from God. The miracles that I see in the Bible are always miracles for people who were already working without the miracle. They weren't working for, they weren't waiting for someone to do it for them. God gave them a bonus. Number three, God chooses to give special intervention of growth to businesses that will pay the price of growth without His special intervention. Are you a business owner? Listen to me now. I said, God chooses to give special intervention of growth to a business if they will pay the price of growth without His special intervention. You want your business to grow? Then do it. I say stay close to God, but do it. So for the long time, waiting on God to do something with my business, you're going to have a long wait, bud. You want that business to grow? Make something happen. You say the economy's tough. Well, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's just all there is to it. You say, I'm waiting on God. God is waiting on you. Dr. Russell Anderson, multi-millionaire businessman, given over $30 million to God's work. I think I wrote this down right. He said, it was usually after I had given my all that God started to give me of His abundance. Did you hear it? It was usually after I had given God my all that God started to give me of His abundance. God's not going to do for you what you could do for yourself. So I often found myself striving to give my all. Let me explain it this way. 2 weeks ago, I was over in front of the new building. I was over there with some of our greeters. Some children were walking by. A child started to walk through the door, and his shoe was untied. And I reached down, I said, your shoe's untied. And I said, you need to get your shoe tied. And actually, one child said to me, I don't want to tie it. So I just let him walk on through. Another child came through, and I said, you know, your shoe's untied. And I said, why don't you try to tie your shoe? That child reached down, tried to tie their shoe, couldn't get it quite done, and I finished it up for him. The first child didn't want their shoe tied. Didn't want to take the time to tie their shoe. Didn't care if their shoe was tied. Well, if you don't care if your shoe is tied, why should I? The second child said, I'll give it a whirl. I'll do my best. I'll try to make this work. And I thought, as an adult, as a powerful person, as a person that knows what I'm doing, as a person with some experience, you give what you can, and I'll pitch in and help you do the rest. And don't you tell me if that story about that child does not apply to me and you. You're sitting back, you're saying, oh God, do something for me. Well, get up and go make something happen. Be busy while you're begging God for what you need. Businessman, let me ask you a question. Should God invest in you? Should He? Should God invest in you? What do you do with what He's already given you? Hey, what's your attitude towards your church? What's your attitude towards your church leadership? What's your attitude, not because I'm the pastor, what's your attitude towards your pastor? Can God trust you with great success? You say, well, Brother Owens, how as a businessman do I know if God could trust me with great success? Do you serve Him in these times of your limited success? You see, the only way God can figure out what you're going to do tomorrow is what are you doing today and what did you do yesterday? And my friend, if you don't have time for God, you won't serve God, you won't give to God today. You say, oh, but I'll tell you what, if God made me a multimillionaire, then I'd start giving. You may never get it that way. God wants you to give of what you have now, do what you can now, and that's what proves to Him that tomorrow you are blessable. He gives wisdom unto the wise. He gives knowledge unto the knowledgeable. He gives strength unto the strong. God gives it. I won't mention a name because there'll be some people here that might know who this is, though this person would not mind me mentioning it. I have a dear friend. I have known him, I'm sure, 20, 25 years. Man that felt like God wanted him in business. We are dear friends. We are very close friends. At the inception of his business, he came to me. He said, "Brother Owens, I want you to covet together with me, and we are going to pray. I want God to bless my business, because as God blesses my business, I'm going to give, and I want to start churches, and I want to influence people." That dear friend of mine, we prayed, and we would call back and forth, and we would write to each other. And I watched him. I watched him serve God and go soul winning and stay involved in his church and stay loyal to his church and his pastor. And I watched and I watched and I watched. You know what? And his business didn't take off the first 5 years. And it didn't take off the second 5 years either. I watched him to the point where we were talking and I said, "Well, I don't know. Maybe we ought to go door to door. I don't know." He said, "But I want it to go. I want it to go. I want it to go." And he worked and he worked and he worked and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And I'm talking about taking a product in this day and age door to door. I watched him go to places. He would go to different cities and counties. He would install his product for free because he knew it was a good product. He'd just go and knock on doors, say, "I've got something, and if you won't buy it, I'm going to give you one for free, but I'm going to guarantee you're going to tell a friend about it." About 2 years ago, started to take off, and a major retailer is now carrying his product. Almost 20 years. You say, "Well, I'll tell you what. If God would make me an overnight success, I'd be okay." God, there are very few that are truly overnight successes. "Well, who does God make a success? The one that gets up early, stays up late, gets up early, stays up late, gets up early, stays up late. They work at it, and 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 they work at it." And you know something? They've decided, "God, if you want to come along and do something miraculous here, I'm in. But I'll tell you this, God, if you do not, I am going to work, and 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 I'm going to work, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to work. And if you come along and help me, fine. But if not, I'm going to give my all." God said, "That's what I was looking for. I want to invest in somebody that is not going to depend on me to do it all. I want them," just like our children. Look, if you do everything for your kids, they'll never be what they ought to be. If you pay all their bills for them, if you solve all their problems with other people for them, if everything that comes along in life, "Mama just runs in there and solves all the problems, and Mama runs in there and solves all the problems," they're going to be immature, unable to adjust to society and succeed. And you know that, and I know that. Well, I have a Heavenly Father, and I happen to be one of His children. And God doesn't do everything for you. Not supposed to. He gives wisdom to who? The wise. He gives strength to who? The strong. He gives knowledge to who? The knowledgeable. God gives to givers, not to takers. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. And running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." Notice God gives to those who gave. It says, "Give, and it shall be given to you." Now to give, you had to have something. God gives to givers. Not to those who take. Not to those who keep. Not to those who receive. God gives to givers. The teaching here is not hold out until you have plenty and then give. That's not what the Bible teaches. God is saying, if you will give sacrificially of what you have, I then and only then can give you more. Why? Why should God give you more if you won't give of what you have? You have not proven to be a good investment. God looks at what you do now and what you have done to decide of what you're going to do tomorrow. That's it. So, well, one of these days, then fine. God stands back and says, "Well, one of these days I may bless you big." God's waiting on you. He gives wisdom to who? The wise. He gives victory to the victorious. He gives strength to the strong. I want you all to stay with me now. I know the temperature is raising. It's getting hot in here. The humidity's high. But the truth is worthy of your listening to. You need to pay attention to what I'm telling you right now. For some of you, it'll make or break the rest of your life. Some of you have been sitting back just hoping God's going to come along and do something for you. And you may be waiting for a long, long time because God is waiting for you to do something for Him. God is not going to kick in and do something miraculous for someone that is sitting back on their blessed assurance and just hoping that God comes along and bails them out, especially when you could be bailing some yourself. God looks for ministries in which to invest Himself. I'm sure of that. You say, You take, for instance, let's take the subject of wisdom. We've been using it. You say, Brother Owens, I want more wisdom in my life. Then you better do what you must do to get you a Sunday school class and start sharing what wisdom you have to some little boy and girl. Then God can give you more. So I know a lot about the Bible. Well, who are you giving it to? God has no reason in the world to increase your wisdom if you will not use the wisdom that you have. And your wisdom was not just to educate you. Your wisdom will be given to you to make a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ. Some people think that your education and your wisdom is supposed to be your trophy so you can show it off because you're a big dog and you're real smart. That's not why God gives people wisdom and understanding. He gives them wisdom and understanding to use it to train little boys and girls and men and women and God's people so they can succeed in life. You say, well, I've got a PhD. That means posthole digger to me, baby. I don't care how smart you think you are. If you're not making a difference with what you know, you're wasting your knowledge and your mind. You say, I want more wisdom, Brother Owens. Why don't you start giving some of the wisdom you have out? God gives wisdom unto who? The wise. If you won't use what you have, why should God give you any more? God gives knowledge to who? The knowledgeable. Most any church that I have ever seen, if it fills its buildings because of soul winning growth, then God steps up and helps them get more buildings. I've watched them time and time again. You know why a lot of empty churches are empty? Not doing what they could. Everybody's got their excuses. Everybody. You know what everybody says? It's the area in which my church is located. That's what everybody says. Which means every area is bad. Huh. Come on. God, listen to this. God gives growth unto the growing. You say, I want greater leadership skills, Brother Owens. Then use what leadership God's already given you. Get you a bus route and lead that group of people so God has a reason to increase your leadership ability. God gives leadership to leaders. God gives growth to growers. God gives to givers. God gives wisdom to the wise and understanding to the ones that have understanding. God gives strength to the strong. In God's economy, you don't sit back and do nothing, and God waltzes into your life and says, I picked you. You're the grand prize winner of Lotto Wisdom. Then work that way. Why? You check the ones that won the lottery. Most of them have it floundered and have destroyed their life because they didn't work to get any of it. Then they have the grief of everything that they lost. You're to be a builder for God. You say, hey, bus captain. Say, I want God to do something on my bus route. Then you go do everything you can on your bus route first. Hey, Sunday school teacher, I want God to do something in my Sunday school class. You do all you can. You say, I want God to do a miracle in my Sunday school class. He doesn't give miracles out cheap. He wants to believe you're a good investment. God's a wise investor. You say, Brother Owens, I want greater musical ability. Then use what you have so God has a reason to give you some more. Sing out in church. Hey, do what it takes to qualify to sing in the choir, to get in a singing group. Hey, God will buy stock in you if you're investment worthy. You show God growth, and He'll show you some. I heard there's a man by the name of Dr. Jack DeCoster. He bought, in full, a $500,000 college gymnasium for Dr. Jack Hiles in the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I mean, the guy just called and said, I want to buy you something. What do you need? He said, I need a new gym. Dr. Hiles thought the guy was kidding. He hung up the phone and said, some quack just called me, asked me what I needed. I told him I needed a gym and hung up. Said, what kind of kook would call like that? The bank called, said, somebody just wired $500,000 into your bank account. Go buy you a gym. You say, well, if I had a Dr. Jack DeCoster to invest in me, I'd probably build the world's largest Sunday school. Let me ask you this question. Would Dr. Jack DeCoster invest in you? Why hasn't he? He can't see you? Dr. Lee Robertson, the great Highland Park Baptist Church of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Someone gave him $11 million. You say, he gets all the breaks. Maybe he just paid the price. God must have felt he was a good investment. Maybe he discovered that God gives wisdom unto the wise. You say, and those that are just sitting back constantly saying, well, I hope God comes through big. I hope God comes through big. I hope God comes through big. Maybe you ought to say that every once in a while, but I'll tell you what you better do. You better just put your shoulder to the grinding wheel and move forward. You ignore the fact that God did it for somebody else, and you just decide, I keep doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this, whether somebody comes along to make it easy or not. I'm going to do what God called me to do no matter what, no matter how hard, no matter how hard I have to work. I'm not looking for the big break. I'm not watching for my ship to come in. I'll roll out to whatever I need to build, whatever I need to do. I'll get there one way or another. God looks down and says, you know what? I like that. I like that right there. And the lazy crowd sitting on the shore watching, saying, oh, give me a miracle. Who would you pick? The guy rowing and saying, I'm going somewhere with or without help. Or the guy sitting on the shore saying, look at that fool. I'm just going to wait here for God. I saw a car broken down on a ramp out here on 81, right at the top of the ramp. I seen the man that in it. He got out, walked around the car, went back, and sat down. I started to pull over, then I drove on by. Later on that week, I seen another car. I seen a guy out pushing it. I pulled over and helped him. I don't have a lot of interest in helping setters. I thought of that guy. And I'm even looking at it saying, what are they going to push that thing to? But I was just stupid enough to say, oh, God, well, I don't know where you're going, buddy, but I like what you're doing. We start pushing. And then somebody showed up with gas to help us. And I was glad. I don't know. The other guy that was just sitting there, he may still be sitting, just like some of you. Well, one of these days when God makes it easy, well, one of these days, you're one of these days, you're going to grow old and die and nothing's going to happen in your life because you're just waiting for somebody to come along and do it for you. You say, but it's hard. What happened to the America that wanted to do what was hard? What happened to the America that was willing to climb uphill instead of somebody carting you on their back uphill so you can roll downhill and enjoy all the prosperity that somebody else has produced? You better thank God for the military men in years gone by that shed their blood on foreign soil to make this one nation under God. And we better be careful that we don't try to do it the easy way. Sometimes you got to stand up and fight for what you believe. You know, God is looking for someone who is pushing ahead with or without his intervention. I'm almost finished. Stay with me. I don't want to be done. But you listen to me. Assistant pastor from up the northeast called me. He said, Brother Owens, he said, I'm looking to go into the ministry as a pastor. He said, and I would like your advice. So I'll tell you what you do. I said, you take your youth department, you build it as big as you can. I said, you take your choir, you make it as strong as you can. He said, but I'm leaving here. I said, who are you serving? I said, if you're serving God, he's got his eye on you. I said, you get up early. You stay up late. You work hard. I said, the only way that I want to recommend you to become a pastor somewhere is that while you're an assistant pastor, you're doing the work. How could I trust you? How could I put my name on the line and call some church and say, this guy's got it together, when you're sitting back, letting everybody else do the work, and you just got a position? And he's not that kind of guy. He said, you know what, that is what I'm doing. I'm working, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to work. You want God's recommendation? Would you like to have God's recommendation? Get this. Earn it. Earn it. Earn it. I'm going to brag on somebody for a minute. Ronnie Shiflett sat right back here in this corner with his wife, Vanessa. That's a hard-working fella. Ronnie's not perfect. I wouldn't say that for him, but I'll tell you something. That guy's a productive man. Every time I turn around, he's bringing somebody to church. Goes to show you, ugly people can bring friends too. He's a worker. He earned that praise. He earned it. From all indications, God sometimes wants us to earn some blessings. If I see it right, the Bible's a book that teaches us the work ethic. It's called The Work of the Lord. Hey, in the area of comfort, you say, I'm waiting for God to comfort me. You better do everything you've learned to comfort yourself. I know people that are going to fall apart. They're not careful. You don't just sit and wait for comfort. You take everything that you've learned and everything that you read in the Bible and everything you've been trained to do, you put it all into practice. You obey what God's already given you. Then God comes along with that sweet Holy Spirit peace and He can bring comfort to where there is already some comfort started. You take encouragement. You say, I'm waiting on God to encourage me. Some of you won't like this. I'm waiting on God to encourage me. Encourage yourself. If you would encourage you and you do all the encouraging you can for you, then God comes along and says He's doing everything He knows how. I will do the rest. He gives wisdom to who? The wise. He gives strength to who? The strong. He gives knowledge to who? The knowledgeable. He gives money to who? One that used their money right. Check it. Like I said when I started this sermon, I'm merely telling you something you already know, but you never put the brakes on your mind long enough to study it. This is it. You say, well, I'll tell you what. If I had all those people investing money in my church, then my church would go well. Well, go ahead then. Get them. You say, well, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, if I had that kind of man working for me, I would succeed. Okay, go get you one. Hire him. Or would he not work for you? Or would he work circles around you? Or would he feel like it was a step down to work for you? Well, everybody gets a breaks but me. Maybe you ought to take your breaks off. One thing you can thank God for, you don't earn your salvation. Too valuable. You couldn't come up with a down payment. Salvation is free to you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to get born again. Somebody else earned it for you. Let me tell you about Him. He took it all the way. Took the beating, took the scorn, took it all. Lived the perfect sinless life. What a great God. If you're not saved, I welcome you to the Savior. If you are saved, I want you to understand something. He giveth wisdom. To who? The wise. If you were a stock, would God invest in you?